All right, happy Friday, everybody. It's Friday, March 6th, 2020, and as always, if you're listening to this, that means you made it through another week and margaritas are in order. Sorry there hasn't been a podcast the last 3 weeks. I'll explain a little bit of that in just a second, but before we do, let's go ahead and do today's birthdays as we always do. So happy birthday to Michelangelo, Casimir Pulaski, Lou Costella, Ed McMahon, D.L. Hughley, Shaquille O'Neal, and David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. In honor of David's birthday, today's song of the day is Wish You Were Here. All right, as always, you know, don't freak out if you hear a little background music. This is not done in a studio. It's an amateur podcast. So, you know, just you're going to hear some background noise from time to time. I do have some music in the podcast, but you can't hear that unless you're listening on Anchor. So if you can, go to anchor.fm or download the free Anchor app. And if you have a moment, swing by the website, TomPowellJr.com. It's TomPowellJr.com. Check out everything there, including the link on where you can buy my first book entitled The Grateful Life, The Life Story of a Husband, Father, and Taco-Loving Deadhead. So with all of that said, we're going to go ahead and get into the stories that have been happening that I've been checking out over the last 3 weeks that I haven't been doing a podcast. But before that, 3 weeks ago, I was not feeling well. I had a pain in my lower back. I didn't feel like doing the podcast, so I didn't do one. And then the pain went away the following day. I thought maybe I had just slept funny. Maybe pulled a muscle, you know. I'm on the verge of being 48. I'm overweight. It happens. And a week later, as we headed into the next Friday, the pain came back and it was really bad. And so I didn't feel like doing a podcast again. That's why I didn't do one for the first 2 weeks. Last week, I just didn't feel like doing a podcast for multiple reasons. It didn't have anything to do with the pain in my back, but I just didn't feel like doing one, so I didn't do one. In the interim, I did see a doctor, and I'm fine, first and foremost. Turns out that I have some small kidney stones on my left side, and on my other side, I have a prominent gallstone. I still don't know, compared to other large gallstones, how big it is, but it's 2.7 centimeters, and I just had a surgical consultation on Wednesday. We're trying to determine whether or not we need to go in and take the gallbladder out, if that's the best option, or to let it sit there, so forth and so on. But the whole thing, you know, has gotten me thinking a little bit more about my own mortality, even though it's something minor. I'm in no way worried about a gallstone. Nor am I in any way worried about an operation to remove the gallbladder. I know those are typical. It's like going to get your car washed. I get it. It's the other shit. It's the it's a little bit of history and the precedence that has me thinking a little bit more about my own mortality. You know, my father's illnesses began in his late 40s. I'll be 48 in May. You know, I had two cousins drop dead of heart attacks at the age of 49 and 50. My Uncle Jake had a list of calamities that he dealt with before he died. And, you know, both my father and my Uncle Jake, when you look at them, their calamities are brought on. It seemed like all their calamities started after one major health incident. In the case of my uncle, it was an automobile accident. In the case of my father, it was a gallstone blowing out a chunk of his pancreas, causing him to be in the hospital for a prolonged period of time and ending up with the Whipple surgery. Ever since that happened, things began to go haywire on him, and it just became a prolonged period of constant medical care, and that's the part that has me somewhat freaked out. Once again, I'm going to be 48 in May, overweight, trying to rectify that, smoke, and I am trying to do better in regards to my health to a degree. Obviously, I'm not putting in the most effort I can, but I am trying to do better. But even if I did everything right starting today, you don't take 4.5 decades of abuse on your body, self-absorbed, obviously, and just turn that around. So I have been thinking more and more about, you know, is this the beginning of a series of medical calamities that in totality over the course of the next 20 years are going to be similar to what my father went through? I mean, after all, on my father's side of the family, we're basically all Xerox copies of one another from a physical standpoint. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that I could be flirting with such an incident. And, you know, when I look at my age, you know, not to get too morbid on anybody, but I'm also a realist. I'm 48 years old. I mean, what do I have as far as good years left? 20 if I'm lucky? I mean, and I'm talking good. I'm not talking total years. I'm talking good years. Good years. Am I going to remain in good health and not have any health calamities or just minor health calamities like this all the way through 68? I mean, the likelihood of that is probably a little bit low. So I'm becoming more aware of the fact that I got less good years in front of me than I had behind me. I have less total years in front of me than I have behind me. And it just, you know, begins to make you think about things. That's all. That's what I've been dealing with for the last 3 weeks. You know, you and anybody that knows me or listens to the podcast for any period of time also knows that I'm an atheist. So you throw that on top of it and, you know, I'm not like most people that you know that think, you know, eventually I'm going to die, but then I'm going to get to live with my spouse and my kids and my family and my friends and all my loved ones in an eternity for all time. Now, I'm looking at, you know, I'm a quarter of a century away from never seeing them again as an atheist. So it's a lot of shit I've been thinking about in recent. It's kind of why I've been pushing the travel in my family as much as I have been. I got limited time. I know I'm always dying, but I've got limited time to be able to enjoy these things well. You know, 15 years from now, I am not going to be able to get to Machu Picchu and climb the stairs. It's not going to be an option. So, you know, I look around and I go, I got to start doing this shit now if I want to do it. And I got to get the crazy ones out of the way first that require a little bit more physical stamina so that when it comes down to, oh, we're just going to, like, take a tour around London, I can do that at 65 and with a cane. You know what I mean? So, anyway, just wanted to kind of explain where I've been the last 3 weeks and where my mindset has been in recent days. Just beginning to put shit in perspective. That's all. But I'll tell you, as bad as my back pain was, and let me tell you something, it was pretty freaking bad. The first bout was bad enough. I tried soaking in the tub, thinking that I had pulled my muscle. Took some pain pills. But the second time, a week later, whew, that shit knocked me on my ass. Had me buckled over on one knee in the bathroom at 2 a.m. crying. It was pretty bad. But as bad as it was, at least I had the common sense to get my ass to a doctor, have them run some tests and look at things, and do a CAT scan, and try and get to the bottom of what the hell's going on. I didn't try and treat it myself. And yeah, that is what my next story is. There's a gentleman that had back pain and tried to treat it himself, a gentleman in Ireland, and I've looked at 6 different news articles about this story, and none of them have mentioned his name, so you'll have to forgive me. I don't have his name. But this guy tried to treat himself for his back pain over a prolonged period of time, and ultimately ended up having to make a trip to the hospital because he had an abscess on his arm. And so he was a little concerned about the abscess, and he wanted to get it checked out. And in the process of examining the abscess, the doctors noticed that what the abscess was, what was underneath his skin, was a pool of human semen. I shit you not. A pool of human semen underneath the skin on his arm. How did it get there? Well, this genius bought himself some syringes, and over the course of 18 months was ejaculating into the syringes and injecting that into himself subcutaneously, because he thought that's how stem cells worked, and he was going to cure his own back pain by injecting himself with his own chode. And I don't even know how to make a joke for that. I honestly don't. I thought about it. It's one of these stories that I've seen over the course of the last 3 weeks. I've had time to think about this, and I can't come up with a joke for it, because I can't fit into my head the level of batshit crazy that has to exist in the human brain for it to think that injecting yourself with your own cum is going to fix your back pain. Hey, you wonder why the world is falling apart? It's because people like this exist. And these are just the ones that we're catching. The ones that turn themselves in or seek medical help and get discovered. How many more of these fuckers are out there for every one we don't see? I can't even begin to imagine why anybody would correlate the two. I mean, if you think that any bodily fluid contains your cells, and therefore can be injected back into your body to help you regenerate more cells within your body to combat some kind of medical ailment, why pick semen? Sweat, saliva, blood. No, you landed on semen. You landed on, I'm going to sit in my bedroom and jerk off into a syringe. And then I'm going to pop that syringe into my arm and inject myself. The lines of those thought processes, how do they even cross? And what's fucked up, what's really fucked up, is that there's two of these stories this week. Two of them. I shit you not, there are two stories of people being injected with human semen. This guy's the really, really, really crazy one, because he did it to himself voluntarily in an attempt to, I don't know, finish his thesis for the Cambridge Board of Education. I don't know. But the other story contains a 51-year-old, and this is absolute golden. The 51-year-old guy from Phoenix, Arizona, by the way. His name is Thomas Stemmen. S-T-E-M-E-N. I shit you not. I'm not even joking. Look it up. Thomas Stemmen was arrested after he was seen on CCTV stabbing a woman by the name of Katie Peters with something in her ass at the front of a grocery store down there in Arizona. So they were at the area where she was pulling a cart out of the, you know, you walk in and you got to pick a cart out of the row of carts. She's pulling the cart out of the row, and he walks in behind her and stabs her in the ass. Now, she kind of lets out a scream. He gets arrested, and then she drives home. And on the way home, it starts to sting. She's like, oh, this is not good. She calls her kid on the phone. This is not good. Well, after investigating, the cops found that the syringe was filled with Mr. Stemmen's semen. And yes, I have been waiting to say that for a while. He had a couple more syringes in his car that had semen in them, and a couple more syringes that had semen but were empty. And apparently he had injected a couple of other women as well. Just walking up to women and jamming them in the ass with a syringe filled with his own spunk. That's really fucking creepy. That is... I mean, it's bad enough that you inject yourself, like the first guy from Ireland. Nuts. Crazy. Weapons grade crazy. But to have it done to you by a stranger with their chunky monkey. Yeah. Oh my God. Do you understand? I would never stop thinking about that. Never. Until the day I die, I'm like, hey, you're checking me, we'll just save it. Oh, it would be bad. Just random bouts of sitting in a tub crying. You injected me with a semen. Horrendous. Excuse me for a moment. No, I do not have the coronavirus. Everybody relax. Damn. God damn. Injected with somebody's semen. Vile. I mean, I've told stories on the podcast about, you know, like lunatics that hung off of street signs and shit into cars. Or somebody that, there was one a handful of weeks back about somebody that had been shitting in buckets for months, collecting their shit so that they could throw it on somebody. That's vile, but at least that's exterior and can be washed off. This dude injected somebody with his spunk. Ooh. People are nasty. Nasty motherfuckers all over the place. Vile, disgusting. So I want to switch gears a little bit here. Try and get away from the thought of that. It doesn't get any less gross, though, just so that you're aware. The stories that have been collected here over the last couple of weeks, they don't get any less gross. But I do want to switch gears and get away from getting injected with spunk and talk about food for a minute, since I've got your appetite up. A couple of food stories caught my eye over the course of the last couple weeks. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, Wendy's started serving breakfast. You know, that's bad. That's gross. I saw their breakfast Baconator sandwich. It's going to be a fucking hard pass for me. And I think there's a pizza out there. I think it's Pizza Hut and KFC have joined together to put KFC's popcorn chicken on a Pizza Hut pizza, which is just basically how you melt your asshole right out of your body. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the next level crazy shit. I've talked before about, you know, plant-based meat and shit like that. But apparently the conversation on food has taken another turn to where scientists are trying to think about meat alternatives for an ever-growing population. We need to continue to consume protein. We're not going to be able to feed everybody. We need to find other animals that we can eat. So what can we eat? Well, there is a doctor. His name is, let's see if I can get this right, Lorenz Hoffman of Australia. And he's come up with a solution. He thinks that the meat alternative for our future, for our planet's future, is a meat that is maggot based. Yes, he says that maggot meat, maggot meat, can be made into many, many kinds of food substitutes. And he lists things like bacon, burger patties, and sausage links, you know, like Italian sausage. I'll eat some pretty out there things from time to time. I do not have an eclectic palate as far as having a wide range of foods that I eat. But I even have things that my, like my wife, who loves all kinds of food, she will not eat, like, tongue tacos, right? That's a no-no for her. I don't mind. I love it, actually. This one, however, I don't know that I can get past the mental block. I've talked on this podcast about people that have put forth the notion of cockroaches being the next meat alternative. But maggots? Maggots. I mean, forgive me if you're eating lunch right now, obviously, but could you bite into a maggot Italian sausage and not think about maggots? I mean, even if it works, let's just, for shits and giggles, baby, let's say it worked. Let's say it worked and it tasted great. Fucking awesome. Damn, that's a... Put a little bit of spice in there and give me some spicy Italian sausage. Yeah. Shit, yeah. What? Let's just say it was so good that it was the best tasting sausage you could ever put at the bottom of a combo sandwich with some good Italian beef on the top. Even if that were the case, could you bite into a maggot Italian sausage and not think about maggots? Because I couldn't. All the little pieces that you see inside the sausage, I'm freaking you out right now, aren't I? Fucking freaking you out. All the little pieces you see in there, you're going to be checking every one of the guards. Is that moving? Is that, it's maggots, isn't it? But if you are one of the people who are like, fuck it, bring it on, I could eat some maggot sausage. If you're one of these brave, brave people who will eat damn near anything, then I have the perfect beverage for you to wash down your maggot sausage. By the way, I was in a band called Maggot Sausage. That's my wife, you hear right now, screaming at the computer, "I'm not participating." It was a tribute to Guar, by the way. Anyway, you need to wash down your maggot sausage. Well, the Wind Loop Brewing Company in Colorado has the perfect beer for you to wash down your maggot sausage with. And it is their famous Rocky Mountain Oyster Beer. I said that. You know I said it. I meant what I said. For those of you who are not familiar with Rocky Mountain Oysters, they would be considered a delicacy out in Colorado and in other mountain states. They are roasted bull nuts. Bull testicles. Testicle festivals. They have them all over the place in Colorado all the time. They're called Rocky Mountain Oysters. The thought of eating one, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'd rather have the maggot sausage than the bull testicles. But anyway, they have made a beer out of brewed bull testicles. And you can get yourself some Rocky Mountain Oyster beer to wash down your maggot sausage with. Are we really baffled by why things like the coronavirus exist? I just think about the last four stories I just read to you. Beer made out of brood or of roasted bull testicles. Sausage made out of maggots. Man injects his semen into another woman. Man injects his semen into himself. Those are the last four stars. There should be absolutely no wonder whatsoever why we have things like the coronavirus. Now, is the coronavirus the thing that's going to get us? Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah, is this what's going to bring on the zombie apocalypse? You know, if so, then we do what we can, right? But I think that we've got something else that's out there that could get us and start the zombie apocalypse. Now, many, many podcasts ago, I mentioned to you that there was a monkey that a guy kept and fed crystal meth to down in Florida. And that monkey was released and is out in the wild, a messed up monkey down in Florida. And I thought, that thing's going to come into contact with somebody, it's going to scratch them, and that's going to be the start of the zombie apocalypse. Now, that did not happen. But there was only one monkey. And maybe he just hasn't come in contact with humans yet. But there is a specific species of monkeys in Florida that is not indigenous to Florida, that was actually brought to Florida by a cruise ship operator over several years in the 70s and 80s. He would bring a couple of monkeys back and put them on a man-made island off the coast of Florida. And over the years, they've repopulated, they've reproduced, and many of them swam to the mainland and began reproducing on the mainland. And now it appears as if, through contact with humans, and remember, this is Florida we're talking about, through contact with humans and living in close proximity with humans, somehow, some way, members of this monkey tribe, Congress, I think it's called, contracted herpes. Now, I know, I've read the books. I took health in school. You know, you've read the books. You took health in school. We all know how herpes is transmitted. So, I will leave it up to you to draw your own conclusions how a horde of monkeys in Florida contracted herpes. Let your imaginations run wild. But apparently there is, in fact, a horde of herpes-addled monkeys roaming Florida, and they're posing a danger to human beings now. Apparently on the mainland, there are slightly north of 300 herpes-riddled monkeys roaming in between the Orlando and Jacksonville area. And to be honest with you folks, if that's how the zombie apocalypse has to start, I can't think of a better way for it to start. You know, when the scientists that are left standing, that are protected by the military guys, when they eventually get down to finding a cure for the inevitable zombie apocalypse, and they're finally getting close to nailing down patient zero and who the hell this fucker was and why the hell are we in this position, they're going to find out that it was somebody that came in contact with a herpes-riddled, wild Florida monkey. And it's going to be cherry on the top, folks. Is there any doubt? That's why I don't think coronavirus is going to take us out. Because the end of the world, the disease, the virus that ends up taking out mankind is not going to originate in China. It's going to originate right here. And it's going to originate in Florida. Trust me on that. Florida is going to be what ends this species once and for all. Mark my words, you heard it here first. The end of the world is going to come about from Florida. Cut it off now. Send it out into the ocean. I know that's not how it works before everybody adds me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just calm down. Just making a joke. Any hoodles. I don't see a reason why we shouldn't just end right there on herpes-riddled monkey horde roaming Florida countryside. It doesn't get any better than that. There's nothing else to say this week. Sorry. That's it. That's all there is to it. Sorry there wasn't a podcast the last few weeks. From time to time, there won't be a podcast. I do not do this for a living, but I try to do it on a regular basis. But sometimes I just don't feel like it. Sometimes I'm on vacation. Whatever. So hopefully we'll see you next week. That's all I got for you this week. In the meantime, as always, stay grateful. Now enjoy a little bit of the Friday song.